Hello, friends. Welcome to your monthly episode of Gather and Give, ACC's very own podcast where we collect and share wisdom and stories from the ACC family. I'm your host, Nathan Stone.
Hey, guys. Welcome to Gather and Give. I'm super excited today to have Delina Fox on the show. So welcome, Delina.
Thanks for having me, Nathan. This is fun.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show. For those of you who don't know, Delina was at ACC as a student. I think you left in the spring of 2017. But when was your first semester? Was it 2015?
Yeah, I think it was the first time that you were an RS there. And I was there for two semesters. I had a semester gap before I came back in 2017. Or maybe it was a year gap. I don't remember which.
Okay. And what were you studying?
I came in for Christian ministry. I had been involved with Young Life prior. And I knew that I wanted to be involved with ministry in the long run, whatever it is, like, especially with Young Life in the Bethel area, because there isn't one. So I think in some way that could have been useful.
Yeah, that's right. Because you were Mount Edgecombe, and it sounds like Young Life was pretty instrumental in your story at Mount Edgecombe, right?
Yeah, for sure. It's going to Edgecombe. That's where I first heard of Young Life, and I was very much involved all through my years of high school. So, yeah.
Did you know the Lord before that, or was that when you came to know the Lord?
I mean, I grew up going to church. My family, there's one church in the village that existed, so every Sunday we'd go to church, but I feel like anything beyond Sunday was just do whatever.
Yeah. So it kind of
it wasn't a crazy life, you know, like we didn't do anything too bad, but, you know, having a relationship with the Lord is something totally different that you have to pursue, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so moving forward several years, it's super inspiring looking at your Facebook or even just seeing articles. I think you're even like in the Anchorage newspaper a while back about you obviously. You know, you've finished flight school, but you're also a certified flight instructor, and you've got your private, you know, license. Do you have your? I think you have your commercial pilot license too, right?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is just wild. Like I was telling you, I have a good friend who just got his commercial a while back, and it was pretty insane as he described how hard it is when he was describing it to me. So that's pretty amazing, and often, you know, it's a real inspiration to everyone. And I mean, you pointed this out to me that you did not finish ACC. It sounds like you kind of left and wanted to pursue what was more passionate about what you were passionate about. And did you kind of know that? Or like, how did you get to that decision of realizing it's pilot or nothing? Like you really want to be a pilot.
Yeah. I mean, when I first went to ACC, at that point I had configured a community lifestyle with Young Life. And I knew that after high school, if I leave Mount Edgecombe, the boarding school, then I won't have that same community that I had. Like I'm not going to be in Bethel with my Young Life leaders or whatever it takes. And I think I was just intimidated by the idea of a big college. So at that point I had already spoken with Krista and Jason, and we all kind of, I don't know, they kind of rude, what's that word? They kind of, I don't even know, wooed me into ACC.
Yeah.
And I feel like at that point it was really, I never knew then, but it truly was the Lord kind of using that as a source of how to be more emotional stable in my relationship with the Lord. Mm. Because even before that, I've never verbally shared my story. And I never knew that was a thing. Or even just pursuing relationships in general. I think that ACC really helped with that. But even prior to entering ACC, I knew eventually that I'm still going to get my license along in life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're pretty involved at ACC, and it sounds like that was like a pretty pivotal time in your life. And so when did you know the time was right to basically step away from ACC? How did you come to that decision?
I don't think there really was anything that was a sign, you know. I think at that point, all of my friends left, and I just felt like I was left stranded. And I was never academically strong. Like, that was my strength. And classes were hard for me. Like, they were pretty easy classes, but it was just hard for me to tell myself to sit down and have like a structured life in homework or like school. Like, even in high school, that was always my weakness. So even just like jumping into studying for flight school, that took a lot of mental strength to make myself sit down.
Yeah. I mean, flight school is probably astronomically harder than just the test I've heard about and stuff. And was there, like you mentioned, academics was a little more of a challenge for you. Was there a moment in flight school where you were like ever really nervous of, oh, dang, like I'm not going to pass this test or, you know, whatever?
Oh, so many times. It's, I think I remember coming to a point where like, I'm never going to not be nervous because it's already super expensive. So at that point I was like, okay, I'm just going to come to ends with always being nervous. And it's always stressful. It just takes so much work to get to where you need to. And, it's a lot of things to know.
There, I mean, with flight school, there's like so much you have to know how to do from what I've heard, obviously in your head, but also like literally, there's just so many instruments on a plane. And from what my friend told me, like they send, even before you're like maybe a total pilot, they send you up there by yourself for training as well. And so do you have any example of like any time up in the air where you were just like, what was, I guess, the worst day flying ever for you?
I don't think I've had, thankfully, I don't think I've had anything that was too upsetting. Like, okay. I mean, sure, after a check ride, I'd come back and I'd land just like smack the ground, which isn't great for the airplane. But I think it was more so just the relief from the stress that you're, I don't know, it takes so much mental stillness that you have to like continue to be present. And I think at that point I was just like, okay, I just need to get on the ground. And that threw my whole game off. But if you kind of shift your question around a little bit, what was the most stressful flight of that I've had? I did one, everyone has to do this. Every pilot who's pursuing their commercial license has to do this. It's called the long cross country. It has to be at least 250 nautical miles, a straight line distance from one airport to another, but you also have to land in three different airports. And I took off from Merrill. I went up to Fairbanks. So that's, you're flying through the mountains. I don't remember exactly what that's the mountain range is called, but it's from Anchorage up north to Fairbanks. And I did that flight by myself. And I'd never flown through mountains by myself before. And if you're flying in the mountains, depending on how the wind shift is going, it's going to downdraft from one mountain and then come right up the other. So like winds could just like throw you down to the ground, or you could just like bring you back up, or just like throw you up into the sky, which you have to like very much know exactly what you're getting into, or it could go around really fast. Yeah. So that made me nervous just because it was my strong point, but I kind of just went for it. There were already airplanes in the valley, so that kind of helped kind of trail along their path. But I figured at that point, I already should know how to do that because I have the rest of my career ahead of me. Yeah. And then afterwards, I flew from Fairbanks to Kenai, and then from Kenai to Anchorage. That was a whole 7-hour flight altogether.
That's crazy, man.
I think just the idea of it being an all day thing intimidated me, and it's the most, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you have to do I heard that you have to do this, but engine check or engine failure, like land a plane during engine failure?
Yeah, it's always gonna be in a practice for training students. So I've done it multiple times, and I mean, not to the point where we actually shut the engine off, but you're going to take your power out and hope that you make your point.
Yeah. Wow. That's crazy. Okay. So when basically we talked about, you know, some scary moments in the air, and then we also talked about obviously just some of the work it took to get there. I heard that maintaining a pilot license takes quite a bit of hours, and just like, it's not something you can be passive on. So what does that look like? I mean, you have to pretty much stay in the field, like, to maintain it, right?
Essentially, you kind of could use it the way that you want to. It's not like a driver's license where once you get it, then you just renew it in 4 years and then you could drive whenever. But with your pilot's license, there's reviews that you have to take for a certain amount of months, depending on what license that you have. So like if I had just my private pilot's license and I just wanted to apply for fun, then from the day that I get it, I have to get another review, which is called a biannual review, and 2 years later. So at that point, I have to fly with the flight instructor to sign me off and tell me that I am current. So they use the word current, like recurrent training, or like, are you current, are you not current? For that reason, because you have to continue to review all those things and make sure that you're in check. Otherwise, you forget a ton of things really quickly. Like even like you don't, I personally haven't flown in a month. And sometimes when I have that gap in my flight, then I'm going to go up and be like, oh, I forgot this does this. And it just, a lot of things happen really quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet. Okay. So I've, like I said, seen you like on Facebook a lot, and even people like sharing your story. And does that, I mean, it really is pretty awesome to get like you said, commercial, your flight instructor. Does that ever get like hard or intimidating when, in a sense, people put you on a pedestal, or you're kind of a role model for a lot of people? I think, you know, a lot, especially out of younger people coming out of college or high school, is that hard? Because I do feel like you get used as a role model in that way a lot.
Yeah, it could be. I think mentally, when I stick to just that idea of it, then I'm like, okay, if I do this, then the world is going to think this of me. But I often remind myself not to get stuck in that mindset, because then it throws me off of everything, you know. And it's so important to keep on track with flying, especially. I don't have any space in my mind to worry about other things. And it's in every other pilot's checklist, that is in the checklist, is like, am I mentally safe to fly? And could I deal with this weather in this mindset?
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. Has it been like, I guess, in, you know, you're in a different season of life. Like, you're not at ACC, you're not probably with Young Life at all. How has that been for your faith journey and just community and Anchorage and all that?
I could answer that in the most long story or short story. So whichever you want.
You can do both.
Yeah. So just the medium in it. So before I moved here, in August 2020. At that point, I had worked for Raven as a ticket agent again, and I was on part-time staff with Young Life in Bethel. So when COVID hit, Raven shut down, I was out of a job. Well, I was still part-time with Young Life, but at that point, couldn't sustain my living in Bethel. So no one was hiring. It was the middle of a pandemic. And at that point, I remember thinking like, oh, if I have a passion for flying, the Lord didn't make that by accident. And I remember like praying about it for 3 months straight with my roommate at that time, and just what it's taking to the next step. And a month before I moved, so this is July, that's when I first started to take the steps into moving. I'm like, okay, I'm going to pray about this. And then if I get a car, then great. If I get a housing, then great. Like, this is all 1 month prior to actually taking the steps to do it. And typically, it doesn't happen that way. Like, a lot of people think about this a year in advance and like try to get an apartment or whatever. And I was like, well, if the Lord wants me to do this, then it'll happen. Sure enough, 2 weeks later, someone came back to me with a car that's super cheap because I had no money then. And I was able to live with a friend of mine, and she was renting her room out for, she was like, just pay for what you could afford for. And I was like, that doesn't seem normal, but I'll take it. And the flight school, they basically told me, yeah, just show up to the office when you're in town. And then I did. So at that point, it really was just, I needed money for it. And before moving, I was talking with a friend of mine, and I was telling her the stories of like, oh, hey, I've heard people who work are believers, and they follow the mission of the Lord, whether they're missionaries or they're moving for the Lord's calling in their career, and they don't have any money. So randomly, they get like $10,000 in the mail. And I was telling her how much of that just sounded like words. Like, they just, to me, it seemed so impossible and so far-fetched that I couldn't see that the Lord could do that, you know? Like, it's so, there's so much faith into it. Like, it's a leap of faith. And she was like, well, if you believe that the Lord's going to do this to you, then go for it. And it was so scary. It was so hard. I very much despised Anchorage. Like, the thought of living in Anchorage was hard for me. But I went for it. I moved, and the first like 2 months were hard. It was just kind of juggling into the idea of transitioning into a city. But those stories came into life. Like, the Lord really provided in fundings. Just scholarships in general too. And even random, like random people calling the school in and saying, hey, here's $500 for you. But like, even that wasn't enough. Eventually it all came together at the end. Like, it all took faith steps within the moment, but it all added up to at least over $50,000, which that was my whole, bike career in the last year.
Wow. That's incredible. Yeah. I mean, the finances is such a barrier to flight school. So that is really inspiring. And I'm sure that's probably changed your view even on future dreams of if they're attainable or not, because you've seen like God work in this way.
Yeah, totally. It definitely shifts my whole relationship with the Lord, because he truly is very intimate and wants us to live our best life and wants us to believe that he will give that to us. And I have never, I mean, I would say that I believed it, but this is a whole nother, like, whoa, this is 100% the Lord, and only the Lord could do it, you know? So it definitely takes it to another level of how much faith I could have in the Lord for that.
Yeah, that is really cool, man. Thanks for sharing. That's inspiring to me. It's funny, like, for me, and it's, you know, I just grew up in my head telling myself I had so many dreams that it was never possible, and because of finances, you know, and so I'd often be really negative. And I remember when I got my master's degree, kind of similar, the pieces just kept coming together to make it work. And it was such a weird moment in my life, because it was the first time in my life where I thought, I stopped basically saying it will never happen. I started just trying to believe a little more that God could do it. And that shift completely changed my life. And it kind of caused me, like, recently I just got my captain's license for fishing, because I used to never believe that was possible. But now I'm kind of like, yeah, it is crazy to see the Lord work. It's just, it's really awesome.
So yeah, totally. You definitely see all those pieces come together of not just your faith-based living, but also like how the Lord wants to be a part of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then with that too, it's funny because it's also convicting for me, at least, because I ask myself often, like, am I using this now, you know, this cool career opportunity to serve the Lord, or am I just using it for myself? And for me, at least, that's hard, because, like, I imagine, at least fishing, that I would always be like sharing the gospel with clients. And there's a lot of times, like, I don't, I just focus on fishing. And trying to figure out, like, is that bad or good? And maybe it's the same way with, like, you, you know, people might ask, like, how are you using it for the Lord? And sometimes it's hard, you know, to know, like, how do you use that for the Lord?
Yeah, totally. I feel like, I don't know, at this point, I really don't have an answer for just the way that I'm using it for the Lord. Yeah. Honestly, because so much of it is already training. Like, I spend so much of my time studying, and I'm not even kidding. I would spend, like, at least 2 months in the library. And at that point, the library knows me by name. Because it takes so much things, like, knowledge to know. And like I said earlier, I'm not very academically strong.
Yeah.
So I think at that point, with how much I've prayed before and how much the Lord has provided, and how much I wanted to quit, and how that would, I feel like, be a disobey to the Lord, and how he's provided, and how much of it took faith to step into it. And then at that point and say, never mind, this is too hard. I don't want to do it anymore. And this is all steps within, like, studying for my instrument and studying for my commercial, studying for flight instructor, like, all of this. At some point, studying for them, I was like, okay, I'm just going to throw in the towel. I don't need this license. I could still fly, so whatever. But at that point, it was already funded for, and I already took the steps to be ready for the check ride or the examiner or whatever it is. I think that the Lord provided this because he is preparing the next step of what to take. And at this point, I really don't know what that's going to look like.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just going to ask what your future plans are, but sounds like you're still, you know, kind of basically just follow where it leads.
Yeah. See what the Lord is. Cause when I moved here, I didn't know within just the next 2 months, I didn't know how I was going to pay for school. And it happened for the rest of the year, for at least 2 months. Beyond that, I didn't know exactly what I was going to do. So I feel like within just this journey in general, it's going to kind of carry on that way, you know, like in the next 2 months from now, I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. So I think there's some good to that, but there's also the human part of me is like, tell me what's going to happen.
Right. Yeah. No, that could be frustrating. Do you have a passion for commercial flying over instructing people or vice versa? Do you have a lean of, if the Lord gave you 3 job opportunities right now, which one would you take?
That's a very interesting question. I think personally, I've always wanted to fly in Bethel in general. I think just because I grew up there, I know the villages, I know like what it takes to do that. I would like to have some sort of career out of that. And I pursued flight instructor because I knew that I wanted to help people get their pilot's license. So because Bethel is so rural, there's already so many people there who want to get their pilot's license, but there's no local flight school in Bethel. There used to be, but there isn't anymore. There's so many people who want to stay in Bethel and aren't willing to make that move to Anchorage or Palm, or just like, it's so intimidating already. So they continue to live in Bethel with that passion that just stays, you know?
Right.
So I think I would like to end up in Bethel as a flight instructor to help even just like local natives. Like, that's something I'm passionate for, is to continue to help people pursue their dreams. And just within the aviation industry itself, I feel like that lacks natives. I think, especially with the people who are flying in Bethel, there just isn't as much natives or locals as you would see elsewhere or like anything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it answers, I think there's both. It's a yes to both. I'll say yes to both. Cause I don't know what it looks like. Like, I think I just need to keep my options open at this point.
Yeah. That is super cool though. And yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people in Bethel who would love to, like, you know, I'm sure you've had a lot of people asking you even from back home of like, you know, what does that look like to get your license? And because it is so inspiring. And I've even, like, for me, like, I feel like I've met quite a few students at ACC who would love to learn to fly, you know? So
yeah, totally. It just never stops. So
yeah, I imagine too, growing up in a village too, flying is just so much more of a daily thing you see than somewhere else. So it just is like something most people are passionate about. Cool. Well, my very last question, Delina, is again, speaking of dreams, just to that student or person who wants to be a pilot or just anything that takes a lot of, like, you know, a couple of years or just years of follow through and test and certification, where do you start? To that person who says to you, like, I want to do this, I just don't know where to start, what would you tell them?
Just go and go to a flight school. Like, if we're going to stay within, like, your question, if we're going to stay within just flying and being a pilot, go to a flight school. Like, go and talk with someone who's already done it for a while. And you could, if you can't find that anywhere else that you know of, start off with a flight school and go and ask the questions there. Or just, if you know of a pilot, continue to ask those questions of the steps of what it took to take. Because, like I said earlier, I asked those questions within, like, when I was a ticket agent, I asked the pilots how it took them to have that drive. And you're always, like, you could just Google it too. It sounds very stupid. but I spend so much of my time Googling. Like, it's, yeah. I never wanted my time to, like, rely on the internet, because, you know, you find so many stupid stuff on there. But it's also very resourceful depending on what you look at. So I don't know. You just continue to ask those questions and you never have a stupid question to ask, because you probably don't know that question. So just, I don't know, continue to ask questions.
Yeah, no, that's good advice. And you probably know the answer to this, but in the Kenai Soldotna community, is there a flight school? Because I remember when I first started being the director, there was some organization, it was Mark or something, was offering classes maybe, but that might be very different than a flight school. So is the only flight school available for, like, let's say a student's talking to me at ACC, is it just Anchorage or Palmer, or is there more local
Kenai? No. Yeah, there is actually one in Soldotna and in Kenai. Mark, you just mentioned that one. I actually got my first 10 hours of flight training with Mark when I was there in 2017. Nice. So I'd fly to Soldotna for a little bit. So they have that. They offer ground school and flight training. So I think that's a really good connection. They're very much faith-based. I don't know if they offer this to this day, but it was a really nice setup that they had there. And their pilots are very experienced. And then there's another one, Kenai Aviation. I don't know anything of this off the top of my head, but they do have, it's out of the Kenai Airport.
Yeah. And again, sorry for so many questions, but if a student started with Mark, would those, I don't know if it's credits or whatever it is, do they transfer, like if they were to transfer to an Anchorage flight school, how does that work? Like if they finish ground school, is that transfer for their full? I don't know how it all works. I don't know if that makes sense. Is it kind of like credits, or how does that work?
It's not necessarily credits. And I think personally, I did this way. I did all of my ground training online, and I would do all, like, there's this thing called King Schools. It's basically all just ground school. And they'd show you all these videos and what it takes to get your written exam done. And there's multiple different ways you could do that. If you choose to do the one with Mark, then you get those classes done. It's not necessarily going to, it's definitely not like a formal class like you would take at ACC or a university. It's just dependent on how much you retain out of it.
Okay, that makes sense. Cool. Well, that is super helpful. And I'll pass that along when some students ask, because definitely it's a lot of people's dream to be a pilot. So that's awesome. Well, thanks so much, Delina, for being on the show. Appreciate you taking your time today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, folks, that's it for today. Thanks for joining. I will see you next time on Gather and Give.